I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
No one's intervened on behalf of...
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only... Puckle TCG Cast.
Hello, hello, Puckleonians, and welcome to episode 34 of the Puckle TCG Cast. Puckle, of course, stands for Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name our fearless leader Thatch came up with, and we're just running with it. We have a very special episode for you guys today, finally, because those pesky five Thursday months always keeps me out of the loop. It took me more than a week to be able to get back to you on Worlds. So let's go ahead and give thanks to Battlecast for taking our spotlight away just for the last month. But now we're back and we're going to talk about all things Worlds. And with you tonight, I have two magnificent co-hosts. We brought back one of the better players that I've ever encountered. Some say that queens have our Sigma size bed. And that's our Sigma.
It's nice to be back.
Nice to have you back too. And for the first time making his TCG cast, what's the word I'm looking for?
Debut.
Thank you. Debut. We have, some say that he can make his shadow cry. It's Trainer JC.
It cries all day, baby.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and welcome to the TCG group. You guys might know Trainer JC in the Facebook chat group and the group in general as Giancarlos, his Pokemon name being, of course, Trainer JC. And he is here to talk about, just talk with us, not only about the Worlds, but also his experience, because our boy here actually went to Fort Wayne and participated in the first tournament expanded for the new season. But before we get into all that, a big thing happened not too long ago, and that is rotation. Rotation came hitting like a comet hitting the Earth, and it really created quite the ripple. And that ripple is no more VS Seeker, no more of those Hex Maniacs, nothing of that. So we are in a post-apocalyptic situation of how to relearn how to play the game. And I wanted to ask you guys, starting with you, Arsima, how has rotation treated you?
I haven't delved in it too much yet. I mean, I am missing the VS Seekers. I've played a few games and trying to make Metagross work, and it's not quite there yet. To figure out the new combination of trainers is a real trick.
Yeah.
It really
is. And I have I've been practicing a lot in the rotation, but before we go to that, how about you, Trainer JC?
Well, post rotation is kind of it's really hard without the VS Seeker, because mm-hmm. I finally joined the dark side with the Gardevoir Drampa, and that requires four versus Seekers, you know. So like now that we're losing that, I'm like kind of debating whether to just completely drop it or figure out a new way to build decks.
Yeah, no, Gardevoir Drampa really did get hit by the rotation, but it's still kind of strong, although we do have
Galisopod.
Thank you, Galisopod, that is a good replacement for Drampa.
That's right,
now,
yep.
Now, what I've been playing, like I said, I've been streaming on our Pokemon streaming Twitch. Please go ahead if you're having the Pokemon podcast stream at twitch.com. I've tested like six new decks. Between them, I have the Ho-Oh, Torchinator deck. I tried a new Lycanroc, all post rotations. And this is what I figured out so far. Of course, it's way too early to tell. This is going to change probably by tomorrow because that's how the meta works.
Yeah.
But what I found is now your dependence on trainer is still there. You just now need to... You Via Seeker now is your Tapu Leles and your discard pile is your deck. Those Tapu Leles are gold. And it's exactly what you need. And now Sycamore, using Sycamore and having actual supporters on hand hurts.
You have
to be very calculated as to what you want to discard and what is worth discarding or not. So in that aspect, it makes it a little bit trickier. But I think the synergy between trainers and Pokemon, now that VS Seeker is gone and you have to depend on Pokemon like Tapu Lele to do it, I actually do enjoy that quite a bit. I feel there's a little bit more synergy between the Pokemon you play and the trainers you play. So at least for me, I find that quite refreshing.
Yeah, there is a lot more challenge to deck building right now, or even playing the decks. Because once a card's gone, it's usually gone, unless you're playing Gardevoir.
Right? Twilight GX?
Yes, Gardevoir GX is ridiculous, like, but we'll definitely get back. We'll get to that in a minute.
Now, when you discard something to your Ultra Balls now, they're just gone for good almost.
Yes, your Ultra Balls are gone. The only thing that has become easier to grab from your discard pile are Pokemons and energies.
Super Rod and Rescue Stretcher?
Rescue Stretcher. We have Buddy System, which really nobody's using that anyone. But we can also use for energies, Special Charge and Energy Recycling are great. Why? So great, those back and put them back on your deck. So there's way to recovering energies more than ever. It's more ways of recovering Pokemon from the discard pile. But now trainers and tools are now just stuck in the discard pile unless you have Gardevoir or other instances, which we might discuss later on. Now, with that little introduction, guys, we're going to move on ahead to the news. So please, let's go ahead and drop it. And it's time for the all-important news, and there's lots of news. I mean, TCG never sleeps. It constantly has new cards showing, new cards, new set. We have one set is coming out tomorrow. We already know the next two ones that are coming. It's ridiculous. We have no time to rest. So that's why we decided not to cover too much of the cards going on, but there's still quite some news that we wanted to discuss. So let's start with two cards. First is a trainer, and it's one of my personal waifus. First one is Lusamine, which is basically a supporter, and it's very simple. Put two in any combinations of stadium and supporter cards from your discard pile onto your hand. Oh, I like this. I like this card a lot. What do you think, R-Sigma?
A VS Seeker, this is not your way. You're using your turn, your supporter for the turn to get back another supporter for next turn. So maybe this could play as a one of, but I don't see it being heavily used unless there's a deck that really requires stadiums. Like if we ever see something like Dimension Valley again or Forest of Giant Plants, then you just really need those stadiums back.
I do like it because, yes, Via Seeker is not. It's a supporter. You're using supporter to get another supporter. However, it's put two in of any combination of stadium or supporters. So you can grab two supporters from your discard pile. Of course, you can only use one of them in your next turn. And if you grab an N or a Sycamore, then it's kind of ridiculous. But I do like that it goes back to your hand and not to the discard pile. It's something that there are some supporters that you really need. Like, for example, Guzma.
Supporter
that...
will be used Guzma and Acerola.
Exactly. Yeah. Guzma and Acerolas are so important that you're willing to spend your supporter on one turn to get those. What about you, Trainer JC? What is your opinion?
Yeah, I kind of like the supporter, but maybe one of in every deck, but not really. I don't really see any viable play to it right now. So
yeah, So you're with Sigma as well. And I am kind of. I'm not saying that people will definitely play three or four of these, but I can see them putting one or two in a deck where you really need those supporters such as Guzma. I mean, I
definitely
can see this.
For the Guzma. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I can see this. And I said, oh, that's our Sigma point. And I can see this in the Gelasopod decks that depend on those Guzma really heavily. I can see them actually teching one or two of these. So it's an interesting card. And it's, again, we were just speaking of how we have no way of getting those supporters back from the discard pile. Well, Lusamine is giving us option number two after Gardevoir GX. Now, after that, we have quite a strange energy. One that has sparked a little bit of debate whether or not it's good, not good, interesting. And it confused me today, kind of embarrassed in the Facebook group where I read the card last week, didn't like it because I understood it. This week, I went back, I reread it, completely misunderstood every single word of that card and actually said, oh, it could be useful. And no, not at all. But let's get to that. And that is Counter Energy. Counter Energy is a special energy. And what it does basically is it counts as a colorless. Unless you are losing the game. Right?
Unless you are down on prizes.
Down on prizes. You're losing the game. There we go. That was quite confusing. Unless you're losing the game. And when that happens, it turns into two of any color energies. Now, we lost double dragon energy. So this is kind of seductive to have. However, it is kind of complicated to be used. Let's start with you, Trainer JC. What do you think about the counter energy?
Well, we got to think about decks that are going to be losing in the late games, you know? So, like, the Trash Lange, those decks, maybe they could use it. Mm. But other than that, I don't see how. Maybe Neubert, but doubt it.
Yeah, the Neubert, the thing is, oh, the one very important caveat that I forgot to include is cannot be used in GXs or EX Pokemon. No. So not even Neubert can use it.
Yeah, definitely for Trash Lange, maybe.
Yeah, Trash Lange might be the only card, and why would you need... With Trash Lunch, right, why would you need two of them? Yeah. You can just use Rainbow Energy, take the 10 damage, and you'll be ready to go. So, Sigma, what is your 2 cents?
Right now, most of the meta is GX heavy. Mm-hmm. Like, not even sure that there's a non-GX anywhere, apart from Garbodor, but even those run GXs around them. And they only need one energy anyway, so it's not like the double Rainbow Energy effect gives you anything. But like, the way I could see this is maybe in a Raikou deck, if that ever shows up again.
That's right. Yep.
The only one that I'm also thinking that it might be useful in is in a Darkrai deck. Of course, you wouldn't attach that to Darkrai GX or EX, but you would attach it to other Pokemon in your bench, and then they would count as double Darks for that Darkrai attack, because it's for each Dark Energy in your bench.
Oh, the baby Darkrai. After you use the GX attack, it does 80 more damage.
Yeah,
the new one that came out on Burning Shadows.
Exactly. So it could see some use there, but at the very end, it's like, why wouldn't you just put more dark energies in it? And it's a sure thing, other than just depend on whether you're losing the game or not. Not enough. If it would have been, it counts as two and it adds 20 more damage to your attacks. Okay, now we're talking. But as just two energies of any color, I just cannot see really how this is going to affect many decks. So, but we won't review it now. We'll wait till that card comes out. Now, those are the two quick cards that we wanted to discuss. Now we're going to go on to a more interesting conversation, and that is the recent expanded tournament at Fort Wayne. And it was an exciting one. We saw so many decks that we long thought were going to be our dead coming back for a return and just completely showing us why we hated them in the first place. Our Sigma, let's go through and turn to JC. Let's go through the top eight real quick. At number eight, we have Israel Sosa playing good old boy Velta's back. Good to see Velta. So our Sigma, Jack Carter, what did he play?
Jack Carter was playing our soon to be friend in a few minutes, Gardevoir GX.
Gardevoir GX once again appearing at the expanded and showing strong once more. Trainer JC, who was number six?
number six at the Fort Wayne Regionals. We had Zach Samora with a straight Galissapa GX deck.
Again, Sounds really fun. It does sound a lot of fun. It looks, at first, I'm like, this is like a lot of trouble for it to constantly attack. But I built one in the TCG and noticed it's, yes, it's kind of is a lot of trouble to have it switch in every single time to do something. However, it is a lot of fun. And it really does put the opponent in a situation where it constantly is changing. So anyway, we'll get back to that, because number five, we have again Galissapod, but this time in conjunction with Garbodor, which is kind of the deck we saw in the second place at Worlds. And that was piloted by Gibson Archer Tang. So congratulations. And by the way, congratulations to all these players. You guys are magnificent. Now, number four, we had our Sigma.
We have Christopher Veneer playing our old friend Night March.
Oh, he's back. He's back again. You thought you had closed that boogeyman in that closet, but he couldn't stay there, and he's been powered up. He's been powered up thanks to Marshadow GX, which we kind of saw it written all over once we saw it. It's like, this has Night March written all over this card. It's ridiculous. Moving on to number three, Trainer JC.
Number three, we got Mr. Chris Siakala. Piloting a Darkrai GX, probably Darkrai EX, and all sorts of
baby Darkrai and Darkrai and his mother. All the Darkrais. There's a Darkrai for you, or Darkrai for you, and a Darkrai for you. Everyone has Darkrais.
He was on stream a lot. I believe he said he used his GX attack every game, because over in Expanded, we have that
Hypnotoxic Laser. Yeah, Hypnotoxic Laser.
God, yes.
Yeah. So this is what they would do. They would, draw the Hypnotoxic, just flip out, because it's just a poison, right?
So then poison they would and sleep. Just, no, wait. Right, poison and sleep.
Oh, no. Actually, he didn't even play the Hypnotoxic Laser. He was just using the Malamar EX to do it.
Oh, that's right.
Which also works really well.
Mm-hmm. You're totally right. Malamar, for those who don't remember, it has a Pokemon ability which allows you from the bench to put both Pokemon, right?
Or no, just
your opponent. Oh, my God.
Yeah, once you attach a dark energy to it, your active Pokemon, the opponent's active Pokemon, falls asleep. So then Darkrai GX would just come and do its GX attack with a one-hit KO.
Ridiculous. Such a good... And number three, so congratulations, Chris. That's pretty incredible. Darkrai, man, we could do a whole party with you. It's incredible. Number two, we got Sam Shen, and he was piloting the ever-new Turtonator Volcanion GX. This was actually quite a surprise to see this deck coming up so high, especially since Forest of Giant Plants is banned from Expanded. I wasn't expecting people to play Fire all that much, but he did, and he managed to get all the way to the top, so congrats to him. And we have number one, go ahead.
I was going to say, it hits really hard when you have Blacksmith support.
Oh, that is very true. And last but not least, we have number one, Michael Premawat. R Sigma, what did he pilot?
Night March again.
Of course he did.
Oh, my God.
So Night March back from the dead, guys. If you had nightmares with it, too bad. You're going to keep having nightmares for him. You have to prepare for him. It's just here to stay. With the power of Marshadow, it's just that much more stronger. But we did not bring Trainer JC just because he has a pretty face. He went to Fort Wayne. Tell us about it. How was that experience?
It was so much fun. Well, this was my third regional. I had gone to Madison and then Internats, but this one definitely was the most fun because I had been practicing. I was a lot more prepared for it. But all these top players that you see on the top eight,
yeah,
they're like super nice people, you know, like you could like play against them, go up to them, and like they'll help you out. They won't be like, oh, you'll ask them like, oh, what deck are you playing? And like they won't like be afraid to tell you, you know, like they'll just like straight up and tell you like, this is what I'm piloting and like, how are you doing? You know, it's really they're super nice people. And I was just happy I took a pretty viable deck, the Drampa Garbodor. The week of, I was just thinking about, like, man, what could I run? And then, like, I'm thinking, like, you can't tech for anything or, like, for everything.
Not an much less an expanded.
Right. So I'm just like, people are going to play items, so let's just go trash it and try against them. And it was a lot of fun, like, especially against the Darkrai GX and EX's mm-hmm. decks. Like, they play a ton of items, and, like, by the end of the game, I was, like, trash landing for, like, 220, like, plus choice ban is, like, 250. And it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
I think that Garbodor, trash land Garbodor, is the sole reason we didn't see a comeback of Seismitoad DX.
Right.
Because you don't want to be in a situation where, of course, you're not letting your opponent play items, but you're playing all the items in the world, and now Trash Avalanche is coming back for you.
It was super fun.
Going back to what you were saying about the people, it's really refreshing hearing you say that, Trader JC. I haven't been in a regional for about a year and a half now. It's 2 years, I guess. It's refreshing for you to say how nice people still are. Because one of my main concerns for this last season and this season was that now money's involved. Actual monetary prices. And once you get money involved, then comes the what I like to call the snakes. Right? The vultures. That people who just play for the money, and they have no idea what even the Pokemons are called. They just get the cards, they play, and they go for the money. And I was really, really afraid once the money, prize money was available, that we were gonna have that, because we saw that happening with Magic. We saw that happening with Yu-Gi-Oh! I was really worried to see that happening with Pokemon, so it's so glad that a year in and we still have the great community that we always have in the Pokemon TCG. So that's great news. So what kind of decks did you battle against? What was your biggest challenge?
My biggest challenge? So, all right, going into the tournament, everybody knew Nightmarch and Trevenant were going to be there, right?
Of course.
So I'm like, I'm only gonna tech for one of them. And like the morning of, I'm like, all right, I think I'm gonna tech for the Night March and, tech in the Oricorio, the psychic.
Oh, yeah.
That does, yep. So then I was kind of sad because I didn't play any Night March.
that's so surprising.
I didn't even use it, you know? And like, the one I didn't, tech for the Trevenant, I faced three times. Like, I didn't even between the Oricorio or the Darkrai, promo that prevents damage to your bench. So I was kind of upset that I couldn't make the right call for that tech, but overall, the Trevenant match obviously was the toughest one. That's where I got the two losses, but the Darkrai's matches were awesome because of all the item usages they did. And then, what else? The first round, some kid was playing Noivern. I couldn't believe it. He played the Noivern GX. Yeah, really? The item. Yeah. But unfortunately, like, Drampa's Righteous Edge knocks off all the double color lists.
Yes.
Yeah. So for him, he did not have a good time at all. So.
Yeah. No, we have Drampa for that. We have Lycanroc Midnight Form GX, which also knocks out inner energies. It's a really getting rid of energies. It's really, really easy now. Not to mention that we still have Enhanced Hammer in the field. So, and when you're playing against Nightmarch, you know most people are going to tech against special energies because Nightmarch plays only special energies.
Yep.
With the double colorless energy. So it's difficult to pull off a deck that requires, unless you're Nightmarch, you're called Nightmarch, and by the third turn you're doing, 300 damage. It's difficult to keep up, using just special energies at the very least. And what was your most memorable game?
My most memorable game. So, let's see. We were playing, the Trevenant matchup. The only one I won,
from the three game, Trevenants?
The only one I did actually win. So the first game, super close. He ended up winning after a really long out. Like, you can't play any items against Trevenant, so it's like super hard. You really gotta pick and choose your spots.
Yep.
Whatever. We go to game two, and like he starts with a Jirachi EX, I get so excited. I got Tapu Lele, attach double colorless. He draws passes. I draw an energy. Yeah, I draw energy, and then I attach Choice Man, and bam, like, win game two right away, And then yep, it was so good. And then we go to game three. It was a long, drawn-out game, but then I had played a Silent Lab, and he couldn't find a way to get rid of it. So So then I somehow I pulled out with the win with the trash avalanche at the end of it. And actually that was the most rewarding because I couldn't beat Trevenant the past two rounds and then finally beating
him. Oh, it was your last game against Trevenant?
Yeah, I finally beat him.
Oh, that's good. Like, so, yeah. It felt like retribution.
Yeah. It was good stuff. Yeah.
That must have been great.
I definitely recommend everybody some tips about when you play these regional events. Like, don't be afraid to ask. Like, ask them how many cards they have on hand, you know? Because they will hide the cards, you know? Mm-hmm. Just, like, always ask them, like, oh, how many cards do you have in hand? Like, just be real, like, cool with them, you know? And, like, just have a good time. I'd definitely recommend everybody trying a regional out.
For sure. Even if you're new, it doesn't matter. Just don't go with high expectations. Who knows? Maybe in your first try. But still, it is still a lot of fun to play.
Wait, I have a story. Hold on. So,
oh, yeah, go ahead.
One of our buddies, his name is Oscar. He plays in the same card. He dropped Yu-Gi-Oh! About a couple months ago because he said he's tired of... I'm not going to bash Yu-Gi-Oh! Or anything.
No. Good for him. That's all we're going to say.
Yeah, so I'm like, he finally joined us. And then he did Turbo Dark Fight. He took to the... And he made day two after playing 1 month Pokemon. We couldn't believe it. We're like, dude, this guy, he just started playing Pokemon. And he day two with 7-1-1 Turbo Darkrai. I was really happy for him.
That's super awesome. And yeah, and that's definitely something we've always said. If you already have previous knowledge of any TCG, being Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Magic the Gathering, getting into Pokemon is super easy. And it's really something that everyone can just pick up. The only thing you need to worry about is definitely just the money. It's a little expensive to get in, but once you have the basic trainers and all the basic cards that you need, after that, it's a lot cheaper to maintain compared to card games like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic the Guardian. Magic the Guardian. Magic the Gathering. So that sounds awesome. Guys, as you heard Trainer JC here, don't be afraid of participating in these regionals. If you have a deck and if you feel like you want to have some fun, do it. It's inexpensive. It's just a small cost fee. And if you do well, you get more boosters back. But better than that, you just gain the experience and friendship. And you get to know people from good players that are in the meta, and you see how just welcoming it is. And it is definitely something that everyone should be trying out. So look, go to Pokemon.com, check out the events search for an event and the nearest regional, go ahead and try it. Once you get hooked on it, I'm going to see you traveling across the country for all those regionals to get all those points. Now, that is the end of our news cycle. It's quite a long news cycle, but we really wanted to talk to Trainer JC here and have his take on Fort Wayne. But we're going to move on. So, guys, grab your towels. Grab your flip-flops. Sunscreen is a must. Because we're headed to Topical Beach.
Welcome to Topical Beach.
Feel the wind in the face and the sun in the eyes, because we are at our tropical beach. And here, in the sand, warm sands of Alola, we're going to discuss what else but the Pokemon World Championship that happened about a week and a half ago. We're kind of late in the game, I know. But wow. Wow, what a great event. So many great players, so many good matches that you were nail-biting. Those matches were great. So let's go ahead and discuss a little bit about Worlds. Now, of course, we know that Worlds was the last bastion of the standard for that year, for 2017. It's the last official standard match that where we got to see VS Seeker in action. And we got to see trainers that are still valid now with trainers that are no longer. We were able to see VS Seeker combined with Guzma or Acerola combined with Hexmaniac. So we really saw a lot of awesome combinations, and some decks really did stand out. We do have the top 8, which we want to discuss real quick. I'm going to go this time to make it a little bit faster. Let's go ahead and just each one of us will do 2. I'm going to begin. We have Sam Chen, which you know he participated in Fort Wayne as well, and he participated using Drumpa Garborder, which was expected. Number 7, we have Pablo Mesa with Gardevoir GX, appearing from Mexico, so representing our Latino community. Sigma, who won 6th and 5th?
Okay, in sixth place, we have Jimmy Pendarvis playing Espeon Garbodor.
I'm surprised to see that so high up.
Yeah, I am too. It's not my... Well, actually, it was the one I liked playing the most.
Really? But... It's the one I found easier to beat when I was playing on the tournament. But I swear to God, I fought Espeon Garbodor about three times, and I won two of them. And the one that I lost was because I had two Frogadiers priced.
Wow.
So I've never found that deck to be all that impressive. Anyway, continue on. What's number five, Arsipa?
Number five is Reiji Nishiguchi playing some amalgamation of Garbodor cards.
Yep.
that was a Garbodor toolbox. It had the Necrozma, had the Ninja Boy, had the Espeon.
Yeah,
The Mewtwo. Yeah,
that's not a little bit of everything.
Really, like I said, love amalgamation of Garbodor cards.
Yeah. Toolbox are so much fun to play. Then we have number four. Take it away, Trainer JC.
So at number four from Japan, we got Sho Sasaki. He was piloting a Garbodor Galissapod GX deck.
Mm-hmm. Which and we'll see once more.
And then at number three from... He's actually a local player. Xander Perel. We actually
from where?
Played in a...
Indiana?
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago, yes.
Yep, Xander Perel. We actually played in a league hub a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's
really
awesome.
Yeah, he's a monster. He's really cool. But he's a really nice kid, too. He was piloting a Garbodor Espeon deck, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. It has Garbodor, but he was playing it with the Espeon.
Of course. And then for the last two places, we have from Japan, Naoto Suzuki. And his piloting, of course, Galassapod Garbodor. And number one, we have Diego Casiraga. It's kind of hard to say, even for me that I speak Spanish. From Argentina, and he played, of course, the infamous now, or famous, Gardevoir GX. And let's stop right here and discuss about that match. We had Naoto and Diego fighting each other out with two brand new decks. These are decks almost completely with Burning Shadows cards. Garbodor.
And Tapu-Lele.
And Tapu-Lele. Yeah. And I have to do it because I really don't not necessarily always enjoy saying I was right. But when I have the chance to say it, I'm going to say it. I was right. When we did the review of Burning Shadows... I gave this set a super effective and said that it was going to be very, very important for the format. And I was said, people were like, it's a good set, but it's not going to be like format changing. Boom. The top two decks were Burning Shadow decks.
Yeah, that was insane. All right, we got to give you props for that one.
Yeah, because I never stop hearing about Talonflame and Tyranitar and... Primarina GX and never mind, that's the past. however, this match, man, our Sigma, what was your thought about this amazing match?
Well, the prizes were unfortunate because I believe it was the second game both Guzmas were prized for.
Yes.
Diego?
Mm-hmm.
If I remember,
but he wasn't very, he had a problem in his first set, first game where he had two of his Kirlias prized.
Yeah, that was unfortunate too.
Yeah.
He held on to the very end in that first game. He had no way. He only played one Gardevoir GX at a time. He couldn't really do enough. And he ended up winning he ended up losing the first match, right?
No, he won the first match.
He won the first match.
He
decked
match,
out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He decked out.
He pulled
out.
Up Gardevoir and he was out of energy.
Yep.
There's nothing he could do.
That's amazing. Then game two came in. But Trainer JC, what's your thought on that first game?
Man, after the tournament ended, he was writing a review about the deck he took to Worlds. And he said that the last second he added the third Kirlia, you know? Mm. Because a lot of decks at the time, they were only running the two Kirlia with the rare candy, you know?
Yeah.
And he said that's the best decision he ever did in his life, just adding that third curly. And it makes sense. It paid off for him, you know? Like, yeah. One Gardevoir is all you need to, like, get you through a game.
Yeah. And that Seika game was also very good. And he also had a disadvantage where he did not have those Guzman availables. But he still continued on and prevailed and won the second match as well. And it goes to show you that sometimes it's impossible to read the meta. No matter how educated you are, because I never expect... I did expect on our pre-game tournament episode, we did discuss that we did expect Garbodor GX to be on the top 8. Galissapod? No way I would expect that to be.
Me.
Yeah. No, so that was a Japanese thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Which we should learn by now. Last year, we had our Mega Audino DX, and that blew us all out of the water as well, because we didn't expect it. But overall, a great, great tournament, great match with those two decks. And no joke, right after that, everyone's playing Garbodor GX now, everyone's playing Galissapod. Let's go and talk specifically real quick, not about Gardevoir GX, we'll leave that for deck of the episode, but Galissapod and Garbodor, what are your thoughts on that deck? Let's start with you, Trainer JC.
Well, the Galissapod GX with the Garbodor, it's amazing because you don't need a lot of energy. So they're one energy attackers. What's that first move from the Galissapod? First impression. You run a couple Tapu Koko, like free retreater. Evolve, attach energy, retreat Tapu Koko, first impression 120.
Yep.
And if you damage your Galissapod at all, you got Acerola, pick that up. You already have the other Wimpod on the bench ready to go. Promote your Tapu Koko, evolve from the bench, retreat Tapu Koko, first impression again, choice band 150. For one energy, that's insane, you know? So I could see how it did really good, you know?
It really does. What about you, Sigma?
Oh, it's more persistent than the Alolan Ninetales were.
Yes.
Because stage one GXs are just so meaty.
Yeah, they're so strong, like you know?
Yeah, they have such a high HP total that you can't KO them in one hit.
No.
Yeah, no way. You're
hitting for weakness.
Right. So,
And when you're weak against steel, and there's only one viable steel type, like Ninetales, a lot of Ninetales GXs, it's annoying. Very annoying.
Yeah, and Galissapod's the same way. If you're not playing fire, it's going to be an uphill climb, especially since its whole goal is to keep switching out and going away with Acerolas. And
then the way they ran it with the Garbletoxin, that's just like even more annoying.
Yes.
You get Garbletoxin up, and then you're just doing first impressions nonstop. Like, you could like find yourself losing the game really quickly, you know.
And then you have also Guzma, which not only is a Lysander, which allows you to pick your opponent's bench Pokemon to bring in the active, but also it's an escape rope, which allows you to switch your own Pokemon, making sure that you can bring those Galissapod once more up to the active and do first impression for 120, 150 with that choice band. It really is an efficient deck, and one that we're just going to continue seeing on from now on, all those events. One other highlight that I wanted to also tackle was Seniors. I know that a lot of players in our Masters category don't take Serious or Juniors that serious. I do.
I definitely do too.
Yeah, because I found their games really fascinating. And I don't have the names of our players here for Seniors. I did not bring with me right now, so I apologize for that.
Give me one second. I can pull it up.
There we go.
I hope.
So what I do remember is one of my favorite decks, Greninja Break.
Bubble,
exactly. Of course, against Ninetales GX, my arch nemesis deck, because I really dislike Ninetales, even though I love Alolan Ninetales as a Pokemon in general. I hate that deck because it's so annoying to fight against it. And I was rooting for my boy. Do you have the names?
I do. The Greninja player, who unfortunately lost, was Michael Long from Canada.
Yep. Which is a very, very great player that's been seeing a lot of success throughout the internationals and the regionals.
Yes, and then we had Zachary Bokari from the United States piloting the Alolan Ninetales GX deck.
Yep. And, man, that first match was pretty great. That second match was incredible because of Bubble, which we'll say now. And then that third, unfortunately, that's always, like, I've repeated this, like, 100 times on this podcast. For Greninja's worst enemy is itself. Third game, he had 2 Frogadier's Prize. That's it.
Ouch. Ouch.
Nothing you can do about it. That's where Frogadier just loses so much momentum, loses so much strength. It's just really difficult to win at that point. You lost before you even started. However, let's talk about that second game. So, Sigma, you want to go over it a bit?
Okay, so we were... Was it that we ended up being stuck with just Froakie and one thing on the bench, and the opponent only needed 1 prize left?
Yes. And Froakie took the game by bubbling the opponent, paralyzing him to the very end until he had no more cards in deck. Wow. If when you say VIP Pokemon, you never expect a Pokemon like Froakie to be the VIP of a game. He was able to get those heads on those paralyzing, not allowing the Ninetales deck to take that last prize, winning him that second game. Now, there's one really important card we haven't discussed up to now, which is the main reason why poor Greninja Break did not win. And that card, of course, is Giratina, the promo version, the X and Y promo Giratina, which, guys, has a Pokemon ability which basically says your opponent's Pokemon break cards abilities no work. So immediately it was a crutch for Greninja Break. Could not do enough damage to be able to take down those bulky Ninetales GX, which is ridiculous. It's 230 damage, right? HP. Or 210.
210.
It's a ridiculous amount for a stage 1 Pokemon, especially for to be able to deal that amount of damage. And especially since it can heal itself by, with its GX attack, putting that damage onto your opponent once you dealt with it. It's just disgusting is what it is. That's the word I'm looking for. But it was nice to see Greninja doing one last hurrah, arriving at the very last place. But unfortunately, the underdog did not take the game. This was definitely Rocky, but instead of Rocky, it's poor Greninja. Now... other than that, guys, do you have guys any highlights from Worlds? Sigma, I'll start with you.
Okay, so the streams were actually phenomenal during Worlds. Half the time you had a stream going on the main page, as well as the side TCG page. So you had access to 2 different matches, if like one was a Garbodor mirror that you didn't want to watch for the 5th time that day.
Right.
Yeah, so that was just amazing because VGC did not have the same thing. They had the same match playing on both streams when that happened. So, but second round Swiss on the first day, there was this guy playing a Vespaquin deck. But not just any Vespaquin deck. Let's also throwing a Zoroark on there, fine. We're both running off of double colorless energy. But let's also just throw in a Rockruff and the Lycanroc GX with one strong energy.
Wow.
Because apparently this person listened to your guys' podcast before the tournament and decided, why not just play all 3 decks that you three were going on about that episode?
Seriously? Oh, wow. That was not what we're trying to say.
That's the message you're getting out. Let's just jam it all together.
Let's just see. If it works, it works. If it... Hey, that's how we got the great gumbos. It's just whatever you can find, just throw it in there.
Yeah, like in Rock and Vespaquin, right?
That's hilarious. That's definitely hilarious. And that's another beautiful. And that's Worlds, ladies and gentlemen. That's yep. Not your everyday store tournaments or regional. That's Worlds, and that's what you always find. That's why we're always trying to remind you guys, don't be afraid to participate, even if you feel like you're not prepared. It's all about the fun of it. Besides, the good players that's gonna fight against you will appreciate that easy win anyway. So that's great. Any last words, trainer JC? Any highlights that you can take from Worlds?
Probably the coolest thing about Worlds is how they had their own format. How the Burning Shadow set came out the day before Worlds starts, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, you don't know how these were, how all the top players are gonna put the cards together.
Was it the day and before, or was it like
it was through the day of, maybe too?
Yeah, okay. It was the day of. Yep. So then, when you finally get to see all the new cards put together, like it's such a crazy feeling. You know, you're like, whoa, how do you do that? You know, like, I want to try that, and it's like really exciting. The whole stream, it was like Pokemon Mania those 3 days, like Friday, Saturday, mm-hmm. and Sunday.
Yep.
So if you wanted to sit down, like have a drink and like just watch Pokemon, that was the weekend, you know? It was a good time.
It's a great celebration of what we love and what we adore, which is Pokemon in the 3CG environment. And it's a huge celebration. It's a huge celebration for everyone, even those that are not playing, such as us, that are happy in the sidelines, just learning and absorbing every single information that comes from those excellent players that we see in day one and day two, and those, especially those that we see on the top eight, and of course, our top two. Guys, we did it. We did it. We survived a whole new season of the TCG. 2017 went bye-bye. We do always do a year in review. We're not going to do that yet. Probably we're going to do that more towards October. However, I did want to take the chance I have you two and ask you overall, not just Worlds, what is your season 2017's highlights? Be a game, be a card, specific card, be in a deck. What specifically, if you have to take one thing you like from this new season, 2017, what is it? Or Sigma, let's start with you.
So you're talking about this season or last?
Like, well, this the season, 2017, yeah, the one that Worlds ended. The one that ended with Worlds.
Yeah, last Worlds to this Worlds. Mm-hmm. Okay. I really enjoyed what Tapu Lele brought to the game.
Yes.
Changing things up.
Okay, that's good. Seeing Tapu Lele bringing in and making some
drastic... it created such a level of consistency. Same with Alolan Baltics, but...
Please, that's not stop. What about you, Trainer JC? What was your highlight from 2017?
The highlight for the season, I think... just the new sets, the new generation of the Sun and Moon era, just bringing, like, changing the whole game. Like, the base set, the Guardians Rising, the Burning Shadows, the introduction of the whole new generation is so exciting, you know? And, they're really, really good cards, and just happy to actually play with them, you know, and try new things and learn, and it's really fun.
100% agree. For me, it was definitely introductions of GX cards and the fact that GX brought evolutions to be relevant back into the game. For so long, we had the EX Pokemon that were basic Pokemons that were just dominating the game. It made no sense for us to evolve anything unless it was Greninja or something and the likes, or something with Forest of Giant Plants, because basic EX was just too fast and too powerful. The introduction of GX basically brought that balance that we've, at least myself, have been claiming for, have been wanting to have from the TCG, and that making all cards relevant, including evolutions. It's the correct way they went. I saw it coming once I saw the GX cards, and I'm glad they took that direction. So 2017 was the rebirth of a new format, not just because of the cards that we play, but also the way we play it, because since black and white we haven't seen a huge change, because X and Y gave us brand new Pokemon, brand new cards, and yes, so those cards did something else, but you basically were still playing the same way you played in black and white. Sun and Moon came in and said, no, this is the new way you played Pokemon TCG, and honestly 100 times better in my opinion. It's just a great time to be a Pokemon player. It really is, both VGC and TCG. So with that, we are going to close the big season and move on also to close Topical Beach, because from now on, we're going to move on to Deck of the Episode, where we're going to discuss World Champion deck. We'll be right back.
It is the deck of the episode.
We are back, and we're going to discuss the deck that took gold in the World Championship, and that is the Gardevoir GX deck. Oh boy, what a surprise. Yep, slash not so surprising. This deck is a beast, and we're going to go ahead and real quick and discuss the cards that it involves. Of course, this is based around the Gardevoir GX in Burning Shadows, which has two attacks and one Pokemon ability. The Pokemon ability allows you to play an extra fairy energy. And the first attack, the non-GX one, for one fairy energy, it does 30 damage times the amount of energies on both active Pokemon. That is Mewtwo EX in steroids. It's ridiculous. And lastly, but not least, its GX attack allows you to grab 10 cards, any cards, from your discard pile and place them all back into your deck, giving you all those important cards that you've already used, and at the same time being a huge depowered on Garbodor Trash Lanch, which depends on those item cards on your opponent's discard pile for it to do damage. It really is an overall amazing card. Other cards that includes is Gallade from Breakthrough, which is that Gallade that allows you to look at the top six cards, if I'm not mistaken, or four?
Five
cards.
Should be top five.
Yeah, and rearrange them in any way you like. And of course, it has a simple attack that does 70, but if it's attacking, I believe it's an EX Pokemon.
No, actually, after if you use a supporter.
Oh, after you use a supporter. Yes, after you use a supporter, it does 150 total. That is teched in as a, since you're already playing Ralts and you're already playing Kirlia, you are adding that Gallade in as an extra tech. You are playing Diancie, and Diancie allows you to evolve your Pokemon faster, allowing you to, it attacks for one fairy energy, and you search your deck for an evolution from one of your Pokemon and place that evolution down, so you can get to Gardevoir much faster. And of course, it includes Tapu Lele, Alolan Vulpix, and Octillery, which are all set up Pokemon, allowing you to get those routes down as fast as possible. Trainer JC, let's start with you. We never covered the trainers, but you should know by now it includes the basics, but also added trainers like Guzma and Acerola. Trainer JC, what's your overall opinion and strategy of Gardevoir GX?
Well, the deck, it's a setup deck, you know, so you're going to have to take your time the first couple of turns getting the your evolutions up. But man, once you get like all it takes is one Gardevoir, man. Like, you start doing the secret spray energy acceleration to whatever Pokemon. In a pinch, if you're having your Tapu Lele up active, just start keep attaching energy to it. And it's just great. Like, it brought a lot of balance to the meta because Trash Lanch was a real thing.
Yes.
And now with Gardevoir, like, you can't beat that, you know? Like, you just Twilight GX all your items back into your hand or back into your deck, and you're, like, trash lashing for zero, you know?
Zero damage. It's awesome. Arsigma, what about you?
I think it's a really strong deck. One thing I want to mention is that Seniors had a really cool variation of the deck, where instead of, like, the setup Pokemon of Alolan Vulpix and Diancie, it just played a Sylveon GX.
Oh, that's right.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's also an interesting way to see if it'll go in the future. Yeah. I do believe this deck's around to stay, though.
Oh, yes, yeah. For a long time. Especially since we only really have one Steel. As you guys know, Fairy in the TCG is weak against Steel. And we only really have one viable Steel deck, and that's Metagross, which is a good card, but still finding its place because it did lose via Seeker, which was a very important part of that deck. I'm sure that it will find its grounds once more. I mean, Metagross is still here to stay. The main thing about this deck and why it makes it so good is how consistent it is. It is extremely consistent. You are guaranteed to be able to play it, and it works 10 out of 10 times. It might not work as fast as one time or another. It might vary, but you will never find your place where, like, for example, Greninja Break, when you have two of those Fragadiers priced, there's really not much you can do. Meanwhile, we had our champion playing Gardevoir, had two Kirlias priced, and he still managed to win the game because it's just consistency at its finest. And Gardevoir is a beast of a Pokemon. It has a lot of HP, 230 HP. It's just so difficult to knock out. And like you said, you can't depend on that weakness because only one deck is its weakness, and it's not being played at this moment. It really is an all-around powerful, powerful card. R Sigma, any last thoughts on our boy here, Gardevoir?
I'm not looking to playing against it, but if the cards ever get cheap, I look forward to playing with it.
Yes. How about you, Trainer JC?
Yeah, I'm not gonna give up on the draft of Garbodor, so I gotta take in the Tapu Fini, the GX tag that allows you to shuffle all the cards back into the hand, the player's hand.
Yeah.
So just shuffle an entire like Gardevoir with a bunch of energy back into the player's hand and forget about that for a while.
Yes. Or start playing attackers that only use one energy. Because the more you power up your attackers, the more you're powering up Gardevoir GX, and that's part of the beauty of it. Okay, so with that, we're going to close deck of the episode. Guys, Gardevoir GX, an excellent deck. Try it out. The cards are pretty expensive right now because, of course, it's a celebrity. It won Worlds. Its price is only going to spike up. It definitely is one great deck. And it's not. It's one of those decks that it was expected to win. Not like Mayadino that came out of nowhere. This one, from the get-go, we were like, no, this is an amazing great deck and it's really going to make a difference in the meta. Now, let's move on to the one of our last segments, Trainer's Mail, where we're going to go over your emails. And when we get back, we're going to do Pokemon's 15 questions and end the episode with that. So guys, after our sponsor, we'll be right back.
Good day, mates. Want something different? Then come on down to the Rhyhorn Steakhouse and try our new Southern Carlos-style Buffalon wings. Critically acclaimed. And this weekend only, Rhyhorn Steaks are buy one, get one half off. That's for you and your special someone. Rhyhorn Steakhouse is a proud sponsor of the Puckle TCG podcast. And at Rhyhorn Steakhouse, where if it moves, we'll serve it.
It's Trainer's Mail.
And we are back to Trainer's Mail, where we read our listeners' mail. First, let's start out with a new one, actually. Duck McStuffles. Love the name. And he writes, it's a first timer, he writes, Jushiro and crew. Duck McStuffles here on my first ever email. I've been listening for what must be over a year at this point and finally decided to jump in instead of just creeping on Discord. You're never creeping, man. You're never creeping unless your name is Gator. I told myself I would commit my emails to just Ethan on the movie cast, but where is the guy? Tell him we miss him. We all miss him. He's still really much part of the Puckle community. He hasn't gone anywhere, but he's been really busy with school. He just graduated. Now he's moving and he's looking for a job. It's that part of his life where he needs some time to get his stuff together. He'll be back though. He'll be back. Continuing on, the big reason I'm writing in, though, is because of what Sublime said a couple of weeks ago about Vileplume being a dark type. I agree! Between the best Elite Four trainers ever, Karen, and one of my favorite childhood Pokemon cards being my prized Japanese dark Vileplume, I'd say it, definitely deserves the title. I actually just gave that card to the wife to use as a bookmark, too. Of course, she had to evolve her way up the line. Anywho, I might not have much to contribute yet, but I plan on getting on the PTCGO pretty hard once I gather enough decent cards to put together a deck, perhaps. I'll make a Vileplume toolbox. I hear y'all talking about it on my for my first deck. Thank you guys for the great show and the good times. You guys killing it and are number one. Gee, thank you, man. Neat work on my catchy sign off, Dr. Max Stuffles. P.S. When I went out and bought some boosters earlier this week for the first time in 15 years because Puckle makes it sound so easy to pull good cards. Oh, God, no. Burning Shadow was sold out, but in three packs, the best card I pulled was a Full Art Mallow. I mean, that's cool, right? Of course, signed, Dr. McStuffle. Thank you so much for your email. So much to cover here real quick. I kind of agree with you two as well. Valplume does deserve that dark type better than, I don't know what I suggest. Switch it poison? But it deserves to be poison as well.
Yeah, it's definitely poison. Hmm.
It's interesting. However, getting to the TCG, Valplume Toolbox is a great, great deck to start with, but in expanded. Yeah.
Not even an expanded anymore.
No. Nah,
well, because of okay, yes.
Forest of Sun. There weren't any UI anywhere near that tournament.
Yeah, the problem is
RIP.
Yeah. Forest of Giant Plants did go away. It's completely banned in general. So you're going to have a hard time with Valplume being as it's a little bit too slow. But do not lose hope. We might get a Valplume GX soon, and who knows? Maybe that will be pretty amazing. Thank you so much for your email, man. Full Art Mallow, it's not a bad card. It's a pretty card. So I guess if you only bought three and got that, it's Full
we'll
Art.
We'll take it.
Yeah, Full Art Trainers are super rare. So I'll consider that a win for you. So moving on to the second and last email. Take it away, R Sigma.
All right. What's up, Puckle people? Man, it has been a minute since I wrote in. I would talk about Worlds, but I think we should talk about new meta. It seems like every set we're getting a brand new powerhouse deck, which is pretty interesting. With new sets coming out, we're seeing interesting cards like the new energy, Counter Energy, which provides 2 energy for any color if you're losing. Personally, I think we're going to more support card meta.
Yeah, we're going for more support card meta.
Than items. Which seems like a really situation. Oh, I think that sentence was just kind of filled in there. It seems like a really situational card, but could provide what you need for a comeback. So what I'm saying is Pokemon as a card game is starting to evolve. Again, no pun intended. I know we see changes to the game all the time, and I know a lot of you have realized this since the GX cards have come out. So before we leave, I have one question for you. Where do you see the card game going next? For example, new cards, new energies, or what do you think we'll see? Thanks for reading my horribly spelled and horribly written email.
Wow.
Signing off, the real Eevee.
He's great. Thank you so much for writing in. That guy is always keeping us on our toes in our Pokemon group, Facebook group. He always posts every single news that comes in Pokebeaches. Make sure to be the first one to post that and let us know what is coming new. So we really appreciate that, the really V. You are pretty awesome and a really good player as well. Now, I like your question a lot. So in our Topical Beach, we discussed that there were big changes this year on the Pokemon and how we play the TCG. And that was great. Making the game slower, making evolutions count this time around really did make the game much more overall fun and entertaining. In terms of what we might see next, that's a good question. I was really expecting the TCG to do something with the Ultra Beasts, being that as they're technically not Pokemon, they're Ultra Beasts from another dimension. But I guess they didn't go that way. I mean, they do have their own quirk in terms of what their attacks do or what they, you know, what they affect. Yes, some of them put prizes in and so forth, which is kind of different from what we've seen before. But I was expecting like a different, special Ultra Ball, Ultra Beast energy, or a special type of the Ancient Traits from Primal Clash, right? Something different with them. In terms of what I see, I don't know. But first, let's go with R Sigma. What do you think?
What I'd like is Ace Specs back.
Yes.
That would be nice.
Reprint of Computer Search, please.
I'd like to see them reapproach Mega Evolution, but like they did with Breaks instead of how they did with Mega Evolution originally. So like Mega GXs, maybe?
Okay, yeah, I see that. Or maybe even Mega non-GXs, maybe just Stage 3s in a sense.
Yeah, just like a break card.
Just like a break card, yeah. That sounds like something that they could definitely work on. What about you, Trainer JC? What changes do you think you might see or what you might want?
The Ultra Beasts are definitely exciting, but maybe they'll have a limit where you could only play two of one Ultra Beast per deck. Maybe, I don't know if they could actually do that.
No, there's nothing new with them. Yeah, they're just other cards. They're just Pokemon DX cards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Pokemon is so unpredictable, you know?
It is.
So, but we'll definitely do take, like, the Ace Packs. Those were super fun, you know? Maybe if they could come up with something like that, we'll definitely take that.
That would be very, very interesting. One thing that we might, I mean, right around the corner, we are looking at Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, which will bring something interesting, and that is seeing that some of the Pokemon, some of the legendary, has one of the other legendaries as armor. So maybe we might see something related to that.
Mega?
Like a type of a fusion, kind of like we saw with Kyurem back in Black and White.
Nice.
So maybe they'll introduce something there. Maybe we have introduce some break style Pokemon where you can add that break into another that it's compatible and it adds another attack or something. I don't know. There's really, really many directions they can go with. And so far, we are pretty happy with the changes that Pokemon are making in the TCG. So hopefully they'll keep on going. They won't make the mistakes they did when as recent as Evolutions.
Oh my god.
Let's not talk about that. But the future is definitely bright with the TCG thanks to Sun and Moon, and we are expecting to see lots of fun things coming around the corner, so stay tuned. Now, that ends basically almost all the show. But there's one thing we are left, everyone's favorite Pokemon 15 questions, and our boy here, Trainer JC, is gonna participate in that right now. So guys, we'll be right back with Pokemon who's that Pokemon, Pokemon 15 questions.
Who's that Pokemon?
And we are back to the last segment, Pokemon 15 questions. You guys know the rule, but let me refresh. I'm gonna take a Pokemon and you guys have to guess what Pokemon I'm thinking about. No questions about Pokedex numbers or Pokedex related questions. No Pokemon, no questions about generations. It all has to be in-game information to go with. So lower your browsers. No Pokedexes. Turn off, throw away your guides because we're going to start Pokemon 15 questions. The order is going to be R Sigma first, followed by JC, and then back to R Sigma. You have 15 questions, and that 15 question has to be the question about what Pokemon it is. So you got to make each one count. So let's go ahead and start this game right now. R Sigma, who's that Pokemon?
Is this Pokemon a basic Pokemon?
It is. Go for JC.
Is this Pokemon dual type?
It is not. Go for Sigma.
Does this Pokemon have any type immunities? Based on typing alone. Ooh, okay, that gets rid of half the typings.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I like it. It gets rid of half the typings.
Go JC.
All right, so what do we have? No dual type, it's a basic, and...
It's a basic with an immunity.
With immunity.
We could find out if it can evolve.
Can this Pokemon evolve?
Yes. Go for Sigma.
Okay, so it's a basic Pokemon that can evolve, and it has a typing immunity. Okay, so we can check if it's weak to ground, and that gets rid of any steel types, and it gets rid
grass.
of steel Well, grass doesn't have any immunities. Let's see. Yeah, it gets rid of steel types. Let's see. It can't be a water type. Could be a ghost type. It could be a normal type.
Damn, I did not realize how hard this game is.
Yeah, it can get pretty tricky. It could be a ground type.
I'm going to need a question, Sigma.
So let's see. Yeah, I know. Is this Pokemon weak to fighting?
Weak to fighting? No.
Okay, so it's not normal, not steel. It could be... Oh, it's not dark either.
Okay. So what could it be?
It could be a ghost type. It could be a fairy type. It could be a ground type. And it could be a flying type.
All right. So it could evolve, and it's a basic. Is it a can evolve into a stage one Pokemon?
It's a basic.
Into a stage two.
No. It's a good question.
Okay, so it's got two. It's a monotype. We could find out if its evolution has a secondary type.
Oh, we could.
Alternatively, we could find out if this Pokemon is weak to ice, and that gets rid of ground and flying. So I think I want to do that. Is this Pokemon weak to ice?
No.
Oh, okay.
So it's not ground.
It's not ground or flying. It could still be ghost. It could be fairy.
Yep.
Yeah. Could be ghost, could be fairy. There's probably another one.
Is this Pokemon ghost type?
No. Go for Sigma. Okay.
Does Pokemon this evolve into have two types?
No. Go for JC. This is question number 10. Five questions left, guys.
Yep.
All right. Yeah.
So it's not a ghost type. It could still be a fairy.
Yes. I'm thinking fairy might be the only thing it can be at this point. Because we got rid of normal, we got rid of the ghost, we got rid of steel, we got rid of dark.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not fighting. No stage two, no ground.
We got rid of flying and ground. So...
Is this Pokemon... Wait, so you said no generations, right? So like,
let's see if it's found... Well, I don't know how much...
Can we find this in the Alola region?
No.
Because I'm thinking it's probably either Spritzy or Slurpuff?
Oh my god. So it's not in the Alolan region.
Yeah, neither of those two Pokemon are in the Alolan region at all, so.
For Sigma.
That said, figuring out which one of those two it is.
Well, we got. Oh. So who could it be?
I'm thinking on the lines of Spritzy or Slurpuff. Or it could technically. Oh no, it can't be Snubbull because we got rid of Snubbull. That's assuming it's a fairy type, but I'm pretty sure that's the only typing left. So.
And like, it's not a stage two, right? It's just
a it's a basic Pokemon with only one evolution. That's why I think it's either Slurpuff. Or not Slurpuff, the unevolved form of Slurpuff, which is. Katani. Or not Katani. Cotton something. So I guess we could. Cause, like, I could ask if it's in Kalos, but. Those two stage one or basic fairy. Is this Pokemon a version exclusive?
You had to make it difficult.
Oh.
1 second.
Go, Sigma. What a question.
Because those two are version exclusives in X and Y?
Yeah.
Yes, it is version exclusive. So go for JC. Question number 12.
So. Where are we at? Is it Brixit or is it Slurpuff?
It's the unevolved form of Slurpuff. I forget its name. It's the cotton candy monster thing.
Oh, my God.
Swirlix.
Snorlix?
No, Swirlix. Like a swirl.
Swirlix? Swirlix. Is this Swirlix Pokemon's... is that our final answer?
Well, no, because...
one extra rule I forgot. You only get one chance to guess. If you guess wrong, you lose.
Oh, man. We're so close.
Oh, I mean, it could not be either of these two, but I'm trying to think of other, like, if it's a fairy type, most of the fairy types are three stages. Like, you have Togepi and, well, Togepi's two types and has three evolutions. Same with, like, Mr. Mime.
Wait, did we even ask if this is a fairy Pokemon?
I mean, you could ask if you want.
Yeah. Is this Pokemon a fairy type?
It is.
Yeah.
For Sigma, this is your penultimate question.
Is this a perfumey Pokemon?
No.
Okay, so I'm good with Swirlix.
Question number 15. JC, it's up to you. What Pokemon is this?
Is this Pokemon Swirlix?
It is for Swirlix. Congratulations.
Oh, my God.
I told you it was one of those two.
That was great. Dude,
you're a beast, our Sigma. Oh my God.
Ah, great. But congratulations
the
there.
Things.
Yeah, like, that's Slurpops. Yeah, I was waiting for one of you to ask, is this Pokemon based on food or perfume or something like that?
Yeah, it's like, that's the only defining features of these things.
Yeah, congratulations. Thank you so much for getting, again, you got the Pokemon, so that is awesome. That was an excellent game. So with that, it is sad, but we do have to say goodbye and cancel this out. Of course, guys, if you like what you hear, if you enjoy it, please follow us on Twitter at Puckle Podcast, Facebook at facebook.com/PucklePodcast, and also our Facebook group, TCG Related, which is facebook.com/PuckleTCG. Follow us on Reddit at r/Puckle. We have a Tumblr. I don't know what we do there, but PucklePodcast.tumblr.com. We also have that. If you can, go to iTunes, review us. Every time you review us, it helps us expose this show more to more people, and we can expand our community, which is our number one priority. Also, if you can, and if you, you know, if it's between you eating and not eating, please don't eat and send us the money. Kidding. Please, if you can, go to our Patreon and donate what you can. $1 helps. Every single cent that goes into Puckle stays in Puckle. None of us get paid for this. All goes to prizes and activities for you guys, the Pokolonians, and equipment to just make the podcast better. And of course, go to our Discords, and it's Puckle 24 hours a day, all the time in Discord. We're chatting all the time. You're always going to find someone to battle, someone to trade with, someone to just talk Pokemon with on Discord. Please follow us there as well. The link is in the description. So with that, we are going to bid farewell to our Sigma. Thank you so much for joining me here today.
It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. And also thanks to our first community co-host, Trainer JC. Thank you so much for lending your time and for saying yes on such short notice. Really appreciate it. And if it depended on you whether or not we're going to keep having people from the community, I'm glad to say that you succeeded. So thank you so much for being here.
It's been so much fun. I had such a good time. Before we leave, I'd like to send out this extra promo regional. A holo that I had. They gave us an extra one for the St. Louis regional. So for your next, what do you guys do? The Tauros badge? Maybe the best email you guys could send out. Or use it for whatever you guys need, you know?
Oh, thank you. Right. Yeah, no, appreciate it, Trainer Jesse. That's awesome. Yeah, so there you go, guys. For next show, send out your emails. We're gonna let our boy here, Trainer JC, choose the best email, and he'll send you over an exclusive holla for the regional. So thank you so much. Thank you too for being here and being awesome. And thank you, listeners, for just being there and being part of the community. And you guys, like I've always said, you are what make both Pokemon and Puckle special. So with that, you can already hear the music. You can already hear the guitar because, unfortunately, it is that time. And that time is closing time. Good night.